Reddick is a Daytona 500 champion as he wins the Great American Race.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Welcome to the show, Doug Rice, along with David Styles, Andrew Curlin, and we are going to dissect and break down all of the key moments, 68th running of the Daytona 500. But tell you what, why don't we set the stage right off the bat with the very last lap.
Carson Hocevar now in the lead. He's got a trunk full of help, and he gets turned to the outside wall. He'll spin to the inside of the racetrack. The field comes apart. In turn number one, we stay under the green flag.
Here they come off turn number two. They are three wide for the Daytona 500 win. Ricky Stenhouse in the middle. Reddick down low. Chase Elliott up high.
Here comes Chase Elliott to the front of the field on the back straightaway. Gets drafting help from Zane Smith at the point. Tyler Reddick in third in turn three.
That's the top three for the final time in the turn number three. Chase Elliott blocks the bottom. Zane Smith running second. Tyler Reddick jumps outside trying to get around Smith for second place.
Here they come up off turn four. Chase Elliott the leader. Here comes Tyler Reddick. He'll make the move. They're crashing behind him. Elliott's in the wall. Checkered flag is out. Tyler Reddick wins the 68th running of the Daytona 500.
Great call there from the folks at the Motor Racing Network, giving Tyler Reddick his first win in the Great American Race. And, of course, when you do that, you get to show up in victory lane.
I kind of had that weird moment where I think everyone was too busy screaming, and I was like, did we win? I'm just making sure we won before I completely lose my mind. And just, man, it's just, it's something as a kid. I grew up watching Daytona 500s with my family and just dreamed of being a NASCAR Cup Series driver one day, and then obviously it'd be really cool to win the 500. So I just, it takes a lot of work, it takes a lot of things to go the right way, and man, we did it in the closing laps. It's pretty unreal.
David Styles, what I hear in that little bit of audio there is not just elation from Tyler Reddick, but also a sense of relaxation that last year when he didn't win and had all of the traumatic things happen in his life took place. And this year he comes back and wins this.
Isn't it funny how the universe just kind of knows when you need a pick-me-up? And for Tyler Reddick, this is a huge, huge weight, like you said, lifted off of his shoulders. All the stuff that happened in the offseason with 2311 and the lawsuit with NASCAR, and then just everything that was happening in his personal life with his children, this is just that moment where you get to let all of that go, and now you're a Daytona 500 champion. They can never take that away from you. When they introduce you now from now on, it will be Tyler Reddick, Daytona 500 champion. That's a big deal.
Gets to live with you forever. The story arc of his career changed in a nanosecond with him winning at Daytona 500. He'll always be looked at differently. Andrew Curlin, you've been down in Daytona. You're still in Daytona as we record this episode of Fast Talk. Level of surprise or non-surprise that Tyler Reddick is now celebrating as the champion?
I don't think there's a whole lot of surprise. You know, talking to Denny Hamlin in Victory Lane, Denny said, this year I had the most chances to win the Daytona 500. I had five shots at it. He's talking obviously about the 2311 cars that he had in the field and then him as well. And you look at the players that were there at the end of that race, they were all 2311 cars. And the talk of Daytona all week has been having friends and finding the right dancing partners. And 2311 had strength in numbers last night. They controlled a lot of the race. Bubba Wallace led a lot of laps. So, you know, you're never sure until really, like you said, the last nanosecond of the race, who's going to win. But it was 2311's day for sure yesterday.
How do you think this changes the general perception of Tyler Reddick, or does it?
Yeah, and he told me last night that you can win a lot of races as a NASCAR Cup Series driver. They call you a winner, but there's only one race that calls you champion, and that's the Daytona 500. And I think he's starting to let that sink in, and that's starting to become a reality for him. You know, we heard he said on the radio he wasn't sure if they actually won it. I think it's starting to sink in for Tyler Reddick now, and I mean, looking at momentum, we're in the Chase era once again. Winning a Daytona 500 is huge because of winning the 500, but it also sets the tone for a strong start to the season. Reddick had a rough off year last year. Perhaps this is the start of a resurgence for him in that 45 team.
It's funny how the narrative changes, David, from years past. More recently, you won Daytona, but you go, oh, I'm in the playoffs. I'm punched in. And now the conversation has gone back to old school of all the folks in the top 10 are saying, well, I didn't get off to too bad of a start. I'm in the top 10 as we leave Daytona.
I was looking at Ricky Stenhouse Jr. just right off the bat, and he has said multiple times in the non-racing part of the season, we just need to do well and run well at the beginning of the year. And it's set up that way because he's good at these super speedway tracks like Daytona and Echo Park Speedway, where we're getting ready to go this weekend. They're off to a good start. They came in second. And, you know, Joey Logano, he's up in the mix as well. But Andrew's right. This race is setting the tone for the rest of the season, but I don't really think we know who the players are yet. This is a one-of-one sample that we have. I want to get a few more races under my belt before I say that's the guy for the year.
All right, Andrew, I'll kind of give a head nod to David there in the sense that after one race, Riley Herbst is eighth in points. Although, I don't know he would be rated that high if you asked Brad Keselowski.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely Daytona is going to be you're going to see those results. I think Chase Briscoe has like 2 points to his name after leaving all of Speed Week. So obviously you can't get a good sample size, but I think, you know, what Tyler Reddick and what the crew, their point last night was there is such thing as momentum in racing. And after the year they had last year, this is a great way to start this year.
You know, David, and I said on this show numerous times last year, Tyler Reddick was everybody's sexy pick. We'd go to wherever it was. Whoa, he's going to be good. He's so talented. And it just didn't happen. I guess he gets to go back to being a sexy pick this year.
Well, I mean, he's a former regular season champ a few years ago. But his crew chief did mention in the offseason that there were a lot of things that team needed to work on. And he said that not all of it has to do with what's going on in Tyler Reddick's personal life or with the lawsuit. He said, these are tangible things that we can fix. And Andrew's right. The momentum that they carry from this, I think, can go forward. And it looks to be like they are starting to change some of those things. And if they do, they'll be a force to be reckoned with all season long.
Guys, I do want to talk about this. And I think we've got some audio a little bit later on with Andrew talking with Denny Hamlin. I think it's just remarkable, Andrew, that here we are talking about 2311 being the Daytona 500 champions. Less than 6 months ago, we were talking about the fact 2311 might not even be around right now. They may be shuttered and out of business. This whole story has a surrealistic feel to it for me.
It really does. And you could get that sense of, I can't believe where we are right now from the 2311 camp. Michael Jordan, I think he said it to SiriusXM, and I don't have the exact quote, but he was basically saying, like, you have no idea what this means. Like, you can't even fathom how excited I am. And, yeah, I mean, if history turned another way, 2311 might not have even been in the field this weekend. So it is pretty cool to see that. And I saw Steve O'Donnell in victory lane, high-fiving and hugging everybody. I think Jim France also stopped by in victory lane. So it's nice to see that we're able to put that dark cloud that was hanging over a lot of the sport in the rearview mirror, it seems like.
Andrew, I also wanted to ask you, what was it like to just have possibly the biggest sports figure in the world as the race team winner for this group? I mean, his victory lane celebration was just massive. It's a big booster for the sport, I think, all around.
In victory lane, you could sense when Michael Jordan walked in. There was the pre-Michael Jordan in victory lane, and then when Michael Jordan was in victory lane, MJ showed up at the perfect time. It was when they were presenting Tyler with the Harley J. Earl trophy, and MJ just walks right in front of Tyler as soon as he's about to hoist the trophy. And Reddick's face just goes crazy. The whole crew goes nuts. MJ celebrating. He's jumping around with everybody. It was cool. I mean, you look at this is the greatest basketball player of all time celebrating as a Daytona 500 champion. These are like my two worlds colliding. It's like it's the coolest thing.
By the way, anybody that says LeBron is better than Michael Jordan, just go ahead and turn your radio off now.
Yeah, they can pound sand as far as I'm concerned.
We do not need that conversation. The thing that I love about this is that now maybe is the wrong word, but NASCAR can utilize Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, the superstar, the jump man, 23, everything that goes with him because of the lawsuit being settled and kumbaya on the courthouse steps, and he's a Daytona 500 champion. The sky's the limit here, David, and I'm not hyperventilating on this.
No, there's something to be said about that Jumpman brand being on the fire suits, being on the car, and being associated with Michael Jordan, who is synonymous with the word champion.
Mm-hmm.
This is just the start of what could be a push for the championship for 2311. Like Andrew said, and I know we're getting way out in front of our skis, but it could happen. And if it does, what kind of party will there be if Michael Jordan is lifting the trophy with one of his drivers when we are in Homestead at the end of the year? I mean, this could be massive. And for me, I think you're right. The sky is the limit. And what did he say that one time at the Dean Dome when they had the basketball thing? He's like, the ceiling is now the floor or something. I don't know. Something crazy. But he's MJ. He can do whatever.
But, Andrew, this turns NASCAR's marketing machine loose. Before, I always felt like they were restrained because Michael wasn't there to be interviewed. I think he was at the track for 5 years, and maybe Jamie Little interviewed him twice. And now, all of a sudden, people are getting to him. He's accessible. He's talking about the sport. I can't see anything but positives for NASCAR on this.
Yeah, absolutely. And Michael did two interviews for TV yesterday on the Big Fox Network. He spoke with Steve Post of MRN after the race. I'm kicking myself because NASCAR came up to me in Victory Lane. Oh, did you get Michael yet? I'm like, no. And they're like, oh, he left. He's gone. I'm like, are you kidding me? There was a chance we could have talked to Michael Jordan. But that's just the thing, is they're making him more accessible. And Michael Jordan is as mainstream as it gets. And that is a big deal for the sport. And having him talk about it in a positive light and being supportive, that is only going to grow our brand.
All right, we'll give Michael a few minutes to recuperate. And Michael Jordan missing out talking to Andrew Curlin.
Well, the quote
you,
is...
You got to be there for one of these. Yeah.
The quote is, I messed it up. It's the ceiling is the roof. That's what he said.
He's Michael Jordan. He can say whatever he wants to. We got to take a timeout. We'll come back with the Toyota Performance Report. They had one spot covered.
What makes Toyota Racing Toyota Racing? It's not just how we drive. It's why we drive. Bubba Wallace drives with resilience, building himself back up with a Toyota team that never lets him stay down. Jade Avedisian drives with determination to be faster, sharper, every lap, every day. Christopher Bell drives with inspiration, because when talent meets the perfect team, you don't just win, you inspire what comes next. Toyota Racing, your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper, rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and X. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
I'm Alex Bowman, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
At Speedway Children's Charities, our mission
is simple.
Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the 5 to Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into five motorsports issues. Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got four wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship-winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the 5 to Go podcast on GoPRN.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
Welcome back to Fast Talk. Doug Rice, Andrew Curl, and David Stiles. And we want to welcome back the folks from Toyota as a sponsor of the Toyota Performance Report. Once again, thanks a lot. Toyota Racing, your race, your story. Be a part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. Of course, Toyota took top spot at Daytona with Tyler Reddick winning. Riley Herbst, a top 10 finish. He was 8th. Bubba Wallace was 10th. And those were your top three finishers for Toyota in the Daytona 500, brought to you by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be a part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. Speaking of Toyota, obviously they finished up in victory lane with Tyler Reddick winning. Andrew Carlin caught up with the winning car owner, not named Michael Jordan.
Denny Hamlin in Daytona 500 victory lane, not as a driver, as an owner. How's the mixed feelings? Because obviously you're also going for the win.
Today is more good than bad, I can assure you that. This Daytona 500, I had the most chances to win. And, you know, with five chances, you feel good about it, but you just never know. And, you know, I saw after I'd, you know, gotten to that last wreck that, I looked to see how many horses I still had in it. I had quite a few. I was happy about that. And as far up front as they were, I thought they had a great shot. But, you know, I never kind of envisioned the last lap playing out like that one did.
You got to embrace with Michael Jordan. Now he was able to host the Harley J. Earl Trophy. What was it like being able to deliver him that victory?
Yeah, it's special. This is why we do it, right? And we had great talks in the offseason about, you know, we have the privilege of fulfilling his competitive fire. And, you know, we should take that responsibility very seriously that, you know, the joy, look at the joy he had at Talladega last, you know, a couple of years ago. There's not much in life that can get him that joy, but us on the racetrack winning races can do that, and you saw it here at the end of this race.
Congratulations, Denny Hamlin, a winner here in Daytona as an owner this time.
Andrew Curlin with Denny Hamlin in victory lane at Daytona. Tell you what, we'll take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about three drivers in three different organizations and how they finish to start the season. Is it going to be key? We'll do that right after this.
It's more than a rebellion. When your teen is slipping into drugs or alcohol, when social media and pornography consume their time and their mind, when depression and even suicidal thoughts cast a shadow over your home, as a parent, you feel powerless. There is hope. At Turnabout Ranch, troubled teens step away from the chaos and into a clarity of nature on a working cattle ranch. Care for horses, learn responsibility, build trust, and rediscover purpose. It isn't theory, it's real work. Real therapy, real healing. Families from across the country have found transformation right here, just when they thought hope was gone. If your teen is struggling with addiction, harmful online behaviors, even weight management, call right now and get the help you all need.
800-277-1650. 800-277-1650. 800-277-1650. That's 800-277-1650.
I'm Bubba Wallace, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Let's climb in the cockpit.
Drag him up.
Pull those belts tight one more time. Grab the wheel and hold on as we prepare to take the green flag on a new year in the NASCAR universe.
The next chapter of American stock car auto racing is being etched as we speak, with new twists and turns.
White flag in the air for Denny Hamlin as he tries to call his shot to the championship round.
With near misses and fender bending crashes.
Fire just seemed like it built way faster and yeah, I could hardly see.
All paired with the thrill of victory.
I never in a million years thought that I'd be getting my first Bristol win on a tire fiasco.
And the agony of defeat.
Yeah, obviously really wanted that one. You can only ask for shots.
We will be your daily dose of NASCAR's top stories.
And the latest from the garage.
Yeah, we want to win races and contend for championships.
And giving you our opinions and hot takes on the current state of the sport. Tune in weekdays for more of PRN's Garage Pass.
All right, trivia time for Andrew and David here. You guys will probably figure this out pretty quickly. But Michael Jordan is not the first University of North Carolina alumni who was also drafted first in the NBA or a first-round pick. He was not drafted. Brad Daugherty.
That's right.
Oh, I was going to get – oh, you didn't give me the chance. I knew it. I knew it.
I'll give you credit. I figured you knew that as a Tar Heel guy. What was Brad Daugherty's number?
Oh, geez.
Come on.
Yeah, put him on the spot.
Come on. Grew up in North Carolina. He was a big fan of a guy from North Carolina. 43.
Was he 23?
Yeah. No, he was 43. 43. He was 43. Oh. Richard Petty.
Oh. Number 43.
Yeah, 43.
Very cool.
So, but, you know, for that, that is a cool little piece of trivia that you got two guys that played that won national championships at North Carolina. That both went on to win the Daytona 500, and Michael may have a shot for more glory. We'll see how all of this pans out. I do want to talk about the Big Three teams. We talk about them so much. They occupy so much of our headspace in Hendrick and Gibbs and Penske. And, Andrew, I'll start with you. I'm just looking at the results of the guys that we consider the back end of all of those groups, and it wasn't a good day. Ty Gibbs, he was the best there, but it was still 23rd. And you go, you have to go way down the list here to find Austin Cindric. He was 34th, and 40th was Alex Bowman. For the guys that are trying to move up out of that bottom seat at those respective teams, they're already a few seconds behind the competition, I feel like.
And again, I know we talk about Daytona being all over the place, and you can't necessarily determine a season off of it. I know I was just saying that momentum is huge. And bad momentum and a bad start to the season is also a thing. Now, can these teams look at it as, oh, well, it's just Daytona?
Sure, they
do. You know, and the same vein, Reddick and their team can be like, well, it's Daytona and we got a great start. You know, you can kind of shift your mindset based on what you have at the end of those races. But yeah, in terms of the chase and needing points and needing to be consistent, Daytona matters so much more now. And for guys like Bowman and Ty Gibbs, who have been the fourth car out of their organizations, I bet you they were looking at Daytona as an opportunity to get a good start, as a way to kick their season off in a different tone, in a different vein, and that didn't happen for them. So I'll be curious to see how they react and respond at Echo Park Speedway, but really the true test is going to be at COTA, where you know, it's more of a driver and crew chief's race. But yeah, bad momentum's a thing too.
David, I look at it to Andrew's point there. You head to Echo Park Speedway in Hampton, Georgia this weekend, and all three of those guys, Cindric, Bowman, and Ty Gibbs, are going down there. We've got to have a good finish. We don't want to start with big number finishes in the first two races and go, oh, no, here it goes again. And I know it's just the start. It's just one race out of 36. But when you're trying to claw your way up the ladder in your own organization, these things all occur to you.
I mean, we saw this last year with Brad Keselowski. They had a rash of terrible finishes, DNFs aplenty. It was a hard, hard, hard hill for him to climb toward the end of the season to get out of that. And right now, if we look at the points, Alex Bowman, has 4 points, single digits.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Yeah.
And then you look a little further up at the other guy you mentioned, Austin Cindric. He has 13. And then Gibbs is in no better situation at 16. And just a few years ago, we were looking at Ty Gibbs saying, this cat's going to win a race. He has not been close to the front
anywhere. Not much. Not much.
I give other newer drivers a better chance to win a race than I would right now with Ty Gibbs. Now, to Andrew's point, we do have a sample size of one, and we are getting ready to go back to another track at Echo Park Speedway where anybody can win that race because it's almost a smaller version of a super speedway race. And then we go to Circuit of the Americas. I think that Gibbs and Bowman have a better chance than Cindric. And I know that's crazy because Cindric was so good on road courses just a few years ago. But I think those two guys have a better chance at that track than Austin Cindric does.
Well, I think they've all got a good chance of finishing second.
Yeah, because we know who's going to finish first.
I'm being obvious here. Yeah.
Well, they may even finish third if it pans out the way that it should, if you think that Connor Zilich is the next coming of the best road racers, but we need to pump the brakes on that.
I like Connor Zilich. I think he's a super talent. We don't need to be handing him trophies just yet. He's going to win his share of races down the road.
Look at yesterday. Look at what happened in Daytona 500. Him and Allgaier, former teammates at JRM, might I add, were banging doors for the lead at the Daytona 500 far too soon than when you should have. And I looked at it, and I know it's hard to really be able to understand what's going on in the driver's seat, but it looked as though Connor Zilich went too high. It looked as if it was almost a mistake that he bumped doors with Justin Allgaier. So Connor Zilich, he's the only rookie, and I think he's got a big mountain in front of him.
So you put up some video of Allgaier's car going through the garage area. Apparently yeah. It went nuts, and this was after he crashed out?
Yes, so I put it on PRN's Instagram account, and let's see, we're currently at 1.4 million views. I just took my phone out and filmed Justin Allgaier's wrecked race car, and apparently Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, they all loved it. But I mean, it speaks to, I think, why it went viral a little bit. It's Junior Motorsports, yep. Their entry into the Daytona 500. Justin Allgaier made a mistake. Unfortunately, Denny Hamlin was the one behind him to kind of, you know, guide him into the wall. So I think everyone was upset in the comment sections. They were blaming Denny. I don't think it was Denny's fault.
Well, Allgaier, after the race was over, or when he came out of the care center, took full blame.
Oh, he did. Yeah. I mean, he got a little bit squirrely and blocked when he shouldn't have. I mean, Denny tried to fit that car into a space that was very tight, but he was there, and Allgaier just came up in front of him. There's nothing he could do. Beautiful race car, though.
David, I was talking to Kyle Petty about this in the media center, and he had your exact same opinion. Allgaier ultimately made the wrong move in going high, but Denny shouldn't have necessarily made that move in the first place. So that's, I think you and Kyle are in agreement there.
I would think, I wonder if Junior brings that car back with Allgaier somewhere this year, or is Daytona, that's the shot. It's the Daytona 500. We're going to try to get in the Great American Race. And if we do, we do. If we don't, we don't.
I wonder if it's just a matter of getting the sponsorship and stuff lined up. If they've got the money to do it, then maybe we see that car get fielded somewhere else. But I think you're right. I mean, it is the Daytona 500. It's the biggest race of the year. It looked good on track. I mean, it's a good-looking race car.
I know we're hopscotching all over the place, and I do want to get to people maybe that outkick their coverage in the next break. But, Andrew, I'll start here with you. How brokenhearted is Corey LaJoie right now?
Oh, man. I felt for him in the dual race. And I even go back to Bowman Gray. He had a pretty solid run, didn't make the show in Brad Keselowski's number six. Now comes with a lot of momentum, a lot of good things going for him, a chance to redeem himself, a new opportunity that just came about. They had to put this together in a short amount of time. It was looking to be a really cool story for him, for RFK, and it just got stifled before the green flag even flew. That was certainly tough to see.
I mean, all four of those RFK cars in that first duel looked very, very good. And if you, you think about it, if all four of them would have gotten into the race, what kind of complexion would that have been for the Daytona 500? We saw Keselowski at the end of the race. He was there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he could have won this if Riley Herbst hadn't have wrecked everybody and their brother behind Tyler Reddick, but that's a different story. It would have been great for Corey LaJoie. And you can just tell he's dejected at this point. It's almost like he's just never going to get back to what he was before or have that shot again.
Well, and Corey said, he's like, I don't know. Before RFK called, I really didn't know if I was ever going to get behind the wheel again. Like, this was a rebirth, a resurgence of opportunity, and he just never got that shot. And unfortunately, I don't even think it was his fault in the dual race. The bottom line lost momentum. It stacked up. Everyone's pushing because it's the last lap, and he just got caught up on the wrong end of the deal. And I feel for him. I hope he can get another opportunity.
I was hurt for him because he's less than a half lap away from making the show.
Oh, yeah.
He comfortably.
Yeah.
I mean, the next car behind him is a half a lap back. He could have run out of gas and coasted to the finish just about. But then the next thing you know, there he's sideways, nose into the wall, and it's all over.
Well, and then another great story, too, is Casey Mears getting in because of that. I mean, he got to run his 495th start in the Cup Series, and he had a pretty video game-like-esque move to get in. So, I mean, we got to see one story go forward and another story kind of diminish, which both of them, I think, are good. It's just I hate it for Corey LaJoie.
Doug, you said something that made me think of this from the Daytona 500 yesterday. You could have just let off the gas and been safe. Kyle Busch was running 30th on that final restart, and he decided to let off the gas. And they're like, oh, are you out of gas? He's like, no, they're going to wreck. I might as well not drive into it. Guess where he finished?
15th.
Yeah.
I just thought that was funny. And it's crazy. It's the risk versus reward. And sometimes you got to trust that Spidey sense. And unfortunately, LaJoie didn't in the dual race.
And there are so many little human stories that come out of Daytona every year. And the Anthony Alfredo being disqualified story. And I had the privilege. I substituted on Sirius last week. And they got me an interview with Anthony Alfredo. And he's a neat
super
guy.
Super nice guy,
he's
too.
He's just so warm. And, you know, you're pulling for this guy. And his fans are called the Sauce Mafia because he's fast pasta. And it's Anthony Alfredo. And you know, I'm just thinking, yeah. And he gets in, and I'm just like, I'm so happy for him. And I wake up the next morning because I posted about it, and somebody said, he got DNQ'd. Really?
But then on the flip side of that, you got BJ McLeod, who's a Florida guy who got in, which that's pretty cool for BJ. And he had an unfortunate day as well, had something break on the first handful of laps of the race.
I don't feel as sorry for BJ now that he sold his charter for like $40 million.
Oh, yeah. He's sitting pretty.
It's not like he's got to make grocery money. All right, we'll talk about folks that had a good day that were not named Tyler Reddick coming up next. Make your plans now to stay at the South Point Hotel Casino and Spa when NASCAR returns to Las Vegas. They have great race ticket and room packages for you to choose from. The South Point also features a wide variety of excellent dining options at 11 different restaurants. Or you can enjoy the 16-screen movie complex and visit the 64-lane bowling center. Visit southpointcasino.com and make your reservations today. Stay where the racers stay at the South Point Hotel Casino and Spa.
Fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
When NASCAR hits Dover Motor Speedway, get ready for all-star intensity at the Monster Mile, May 15th through 17th. See the sport's biggest names battle it out. It's more than a race, concerts, autograph sessions, tailgates, and nonstop action all weekend long. Experience NASCAR the way it's meant to be, live and in person at Dover. Get your tickets now at DoverMotorSpeedway.com. That's DoverMotorSpeedway.com.
I'm Ryan Blaney, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, I'm PRN's Alexis Erickson. Want to listen to PRN anywhere you go? By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to live race broadcasts and have on-demand access to your favorite shows like Fast Talk, Pit Reporters, Garage Pass, and PRN's At the Track. Download today to make sure you don't miss any of the action. Get the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app, available on Apple App Store and Google Play. Find more information at goprn.com.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And I was about to lose homeowners insurance as well. I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us. Operation Homefront, they've really been a blessing.
Welcome back to Fast Talk. It's Doug Rice, David Stiles, Andrew Curlin. Andrew's been down in Daytona for a while, and there's usually a bevy of celebrities there, Andrew. And I noticed one of my favorites, Kurt Russell, was in the media center. I think he was the pace car driver. Did you get any interaction with any of the celebs? We're going to do Hollywood Reporter here with Andrew Curlin. Did you rub elbows with any celebs that weren't named Denny Hamlin?
No. Yeah, I came really close to Michael Jordan, but I already told that story. I saw Bert Kreischer. I shook his hand. I said, thank you so much for being here. And that I was a big fan of his. He's a comedian. Yep.
Did he have his shirt on or his shirt off when you shook his hand?
He had his shirt on. Okay. And then I took my shirt off.
There you
and
go.
And that was a little strange. No, I'm joking.
Well, so did then, Natalie Decker, apparently.
Yeah, right.
Did y'all see that?
Yeah.
I did see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I spent a little time looking Ernest. At that.
I saw Ernest on a golf cart. He's a country music artist, and okay. I waved and said hello. So those were my interactions, but it's always fun to see who shows up at Daytona. You never know. Oh, and then I saw Bart Simpson waving the green flag, too.
Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah. Nick Bargatze was cool. There, too. Yeah. He did the Grand Marshal stuff. Doug's a little familiar with that.
And I would have fanboyed out on Kurt Russell a little bit.
Would you have given him a tombstone quote? Would you have?
Maybe.
Been like, are you going to stand there and bleed?
Yeah.
Jerk that smoke wagon and go to town, boy.
I just think he's an iconic American actor. And we were just talking to. He was in the third Guardian of the Galaxy movie, and
he's been in a Tarantino movie, Hateful Eight. He's
been in
good.
A lot of. Been in a lot of. And he's in with him.
The Thing. We can't forget about The Thing, horror movie.
What's the movie he's in with where it's a man overboard? Oh,
it's just called Overboard.
Overboard.
Yeah.
Really? Him and Goldie Hawn?
Yeah.
Pretty good stuff. Sorry, we digress.
Isn't he in a Santa Claus movie, too? Something like that.
I thought that was Billy Bob Thornton. It's in Dirty
that's bad,
Santa.
That's Bad Santa. Bad I think there's Santa. Another Santa Claus movie with
all
him
right,
in it.
All right, let's Whatever. Get back into the Daytona 500. We talked about some disappointments. Andrew, was there somebody that you felt like, wow, for them, they've got to be really happy getting out of Daytona with that result?
Off the top of my head, Zane Smith. I mean, talking about a guy who, and that's the other side of the lawsuit story that we kind of forget is that Front Row Motorsports was also involved in this as well. But Zane didn't have a great year last year, and for him to come out fourth in points, I'm not sure where he finished, but that's a great day. And then Brad Keselowski, too, after going everything he went through in the offseason with a broken leg, to come out of Daytona with a solid result and a good start to the year, those are the two that stand out to me.
To me, Noah Gregson.
Yeah.
I thought he had a pretty great Daytona 500 weekend. And then also, I think Spire, as a whole, looked really, really strong yesterday. Josevar was in contention there late. Michael McDowell, they had the great strategy call to save gas, and he was leading the race there on that last restart. And then Daniel Suarez got a pretty decent finish with a new team, new crew chief, new everything. So Spire, I think, as a whole, looked pretty good.
Daytona's like that.
Yeah.
You can have these anomalous finishes and people will have their only top 10 of the year. But I'm like you, Noah Gregson, who suffered through one of the most miserable seasons imaginable last year. To get out of there with a halfway decent finish and a small number on the scorecard,
that's not a big deal.
That's not bad for him. And a guy that can be and is tremendously popular.
Huge personality on that guy. And he's fun to be around. He was with John Gruden before the race started doing quarterback cadences. Like he's just an interesting fellow. And I hope that he continues to see some success here in 2026.
And the public likes him.
Oh, yeah.
Have you picked up on that, Andrew? I mean, it seems like he's the lock to get voted into the All-Star race every year.
He is, yeah. And Noah is just authentically himself, sometimes to a fault, but that's what makes him him. We need more personalities like that. We need people who aren't afraid to be themselves and who aren't polished and give you the canned answer every time. I mean, you ask Noah a question, you have no idea what he is going to say, and that's a good thing, especially for what we do.
And I love that.
Yeah.
We need a little bit more of that. We've got to take a time out. When we come back, we will do our green flag, black flag, and we'll put the caps on this with one last thing. All of that coming up on this edition of Fast Talk, brought to you by Toyota. Your race, your story. Be a part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal and is so easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and X to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name Z-Max for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
When NASCAR hits Dover Motor Speedway, get ready for all-star intensity at the Monster Mile, May 15th through 17th. See the sport's biggest names battle it out. It's more than a race, concerts, autograph sessions, tailgates, and nonstop action all weekend long. Experience NASCAR the way it's meant to be, live and in person at Dover. Get your tickets now at DoverMotorSpeedway.com. That's DoverMotorSpeedway.com.
I'm Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
This is the kind of racing you can feel in your chest. Door to door, inches apart, every lap all on the line. This is Echo Park Speedway, the hottest track in NASCAR. 3 days of tailgates, camping, and full throttle fun. But Sunday is chaos, speed, and glory. This February 22nd, the Auto Trader 400 takes over Atlanta. Get tickets at EchoParkSpeedway.com.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
Large fun here on Fast Talk. Doug Rice with Andrew Curlin and David Stiles. Nice grouping, guys. It's our first one of these together as a trio here, and probably won't be our last.
Glad to know that I'll be back.
Yeah. Well, I get the sneaking suspicion that Alexis will run off whenever we let her. No, you guys do that. No, she does an awesome job, but she gets a day off with her youngster today, so that's nice. That's
well, and then Brad's not here. He was covering the Daytona 500. Saw him on TV a couple of times.
Yeah,
he
did a
great job with
him. And we want to give him a shout-out for that as being a part of the Daytona 500 crew on the Motor Racing Network. Way to go, Brad Gilley. Kent Bernhardt, what do we have going on here?
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
How about that?
Here we are. David, you've played this before. Andrew, I don't think you ever have.
I don't think I have, and I apologize. I just saw a text that said, please send your entries in before the show, and I'm just seeing it now, so you guys don't know what's going to happen with my answers.
We entered for you. We voted for you, okay?
Okay.
Right, it's very, very simple. That's the reason it's so successful.
We have to keep it that way here, and we do. And if you hear the statement and you agree with the statement, it gets a green flag. I give it one of these. If you disagree with the statement, a black flag. There we go. That's all the buttons I've got. So we'll go on here. David Stiles, I'm going to start with you.
Oh, no.
Richard Petty's record of 7 Daytona 500 wins is untouchable.
Green flag, definitely. I don't think anyone is ever going to get to 7 ever again. I think you may be hard-pressed to win more than 3.
All right. Andrew, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you look at William Byron tried to go for 3 in a row, couldn't do it. Denny's been trying to get his 4th for years. I don't think you're going to be able to touch it with how unpredictable these races are.
Doug, what do you think?
You know, I have a sticker on my cooler at home, and it says 6-time Daytona 500 champion. If that gives you any idea of how old the cooler and or the sticker are, and he got it up to 7 by winning in 81. No, that's a record that you can just bronze and leave alone. Way
if
to go,
it, if it could be touched, who could even come close?
I think the closest person that we have in current day would be Denny, but he's got to win 4 more of them. That's going to be hard to do.
Is that the closest we are to anybody?
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson, he won 3. Jeff Gordon won a passel, but they none came within anywhere close to King.
All right. Next question, Andrew, we start with you. If you're a Kyle Larson fan, you will get to wait until at least mid-season to watch him win.
Oh, no, black flag. I think Larson is going to return to his winning form. I know he had a slow start to the end or slow end to last year, even though he won the championship. But Larson and that 5 team, they're going to have winning speed this year, and they're going to be back in victory lane before we know it.
Doug Rice.
Green flag. You know, wow. Larson's he's a 2-time champion, but I think some of his magic pixie dust got lost. They got to find it again. He's going to win this year, but it may be until after the Coke 600.
David, we got a tie here. Break it.
I'm looking at the schedule, and Darlington looks good, but then I'm thinking if he's running that Terry Labonte paint scheme again, he's going to wreck because it happens every time and breaks my heart.
It's so scientific.
I'm going to go black flag. I think he'll end up picking up a win here a little bit sooner than we think.
All right. Doug Rice, we'll start with you on this one. There will be no more than 12 winners in 2026.
Be no more than 12 winners.
No more than
12. I'm going to give that a green flag. I think 12, once again, we talked about this last week. I think that's the ceiling this year. Tyler Reddick is not a surprise winner. So that plus winners from the big teams, I think 12 is probably the number.
David Stiles.
I'm going to go, if we're doing over-under, I think we have more. We had 15 last year. I think we have more than 12, so black flag.
All right. Andrew?
I will also give it a black flag, although I think it's going to be close to 12 just because with the chase, there's going to be less people making risky moves to go for wins just because consistency matters. But I think we have enough parity to see more than 12.
All right. And we'll go to David Stiles for this one first. Daytona 500 was a daytime race. Good thing. Racing is not necessarily more exciting under the lights.
Green flag. Other than a couple of races a year, I'm going to say the Coca-Cola 600, the Bristol night race, those should be night races. Everything else, 1 p.m. start time.
So when you take over NASCAR, those are your two night races. That's it. Andrew.
That's it.
Green flag for NASCAR moving the start time up. I say let's just run it there. I don't mind finishing the race at sunset. I kind of like finishing when the lights are up. So I'm kind of in between, but for the most part, I'm green flag. I like it as a daytime race.
Doug, nighttime racing.
Concur. I a couple, the 600 Bristol night race. Everything else, run it under God's beautiful sunshine. Let's get out there. I don't. That's just me. I know there are people that love them some nighttime racing. I don't like leaving the racetrack at midnight.
Well, there's something cool, too, like a few years ago when we were at New Hampshire and they're trying to beat the sunset to get the race in. Like, that's cool, too. So, I like that.
I've had that happen at Indy and a couple of other places where they don't have lights, and I am down with that. And like I said, just for personal reasons, I don't like leaving the racetrack at midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning when you've been extended into overtimes and things of that nature. And I also never really enjoyed the fact that you have to arrive at the racetrack the same time for a night race
as a daytime race. Yeah.
Works out. And that's probably not an accident, I wouldn't think.
No, probably not.
All right, good deal. That's Green Flag, Black Flag, Doug.
All right, thanks a bunch. Coming back, one last thing.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Make your plans now to stay at the South Point Hotel Casino and Spa when NASCAR returns to Las Vegas. They have great race ticket and room packages for you to choose from. The South Point also features a wide variety of excellent dining options at 11 different restaurants. Or you can enjoy the 16-screen movie complex and visit the 64-lane bowling center. Visit southpointcasino.com and make your reservations today. Stay where the racers stay at the South Point Hotel Casino and Spa.
I'm Kyle Busch, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Welcome to PRN's At the Track. I'm Lenny Baticki. We are PRN's half-hour weekly show dedicated to the short track, dirt track, legends, and kart racing across the Southeast. We provide our audience with the news and insightful conversations with the newsmakers from grassroots racing.
How did that help you this time to take this victory from a grassroots perspective?
I definitely felt like Martinsville was a lot harder than the other one.
That's PRN's At the Track.
Thanks a bunch to Kemp Bernhardt for helping put together the show today. This has been a lot of fun. And we are back on our regular scheduled programming list. We will be originating here from the Performance Racing Network studios. And it'll be a different cast probably about every week. Kyle Petty's going to do about every fourth show. David, Brad Gilley, Alexis, yourself, Andrew, and myself. So a lot of different voices will be popping in and out on the show.
I'm excited for it, and it's always good to have Kyle in the studio. Glad he'll be back in a couple of weeks. He's always a lot of fun to hang around, and he's a great storyteller.
And I love the fact I never know what's coming out of his mouth. Absolutely. Never have one thought about what's coming out of his mouth. All right, Andrew, time for this little segment.
One last thing.
Whatever you want to talk about, Andrew, can be on any subject in the known universe. Does not have to be racing. Give us a minute of one last thing.
Wow. Well, I will make it about racing. I've been to the Daytona 500 for the past 10, 11 years. And the last couple of years rolling into the racetrack, you notice the campsites haven't been filled. The attendance hasn't been there. The energy was down. This year was absolutely not the case. It was tangible. There's such an excitement for the NASCAR season, and I'm so glad that the racing gods allowed us to to complete a full race with the weather cooperating. I am just so optimistic and so excited to get this season started. There's a lot of great things going on in the world of NASCAR racing, and I think Daytona set the tone for what's hopefully going to be a really exciting year for us at the Performance Racing Network and fans watching from all over the world.
Well said.
Me? I like Super Speedway racing. I like Daytona. And we're getting ready to see some more Super Speedway style racing at Echo Park Speedway. It won't be the same exact style of racing. I feel like the aero dependency is not as great at Echo Park, but we're in for a great show. And if you're looking to get into NASCAR or to go to a track, you should go to Echo Park Speedway. They're going to have a great slew of events this weekend. You've got trucks, you've got the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series, you've also got the Cup Series. And this will be kind of the start of the season. We just had the Super Bowl of races in the Daytona 500. We now get ready to settle in for the long haul that is the NASCAR season. So go out to Atlanta and go to Echo Park Speedway. You can get tickets. You can go to echoparkspeedway.com to get that. And you can hear PRN this weekend.
And
we'll be on the air.
And I will agree with you and concur. You go to Echo Park and you sit there in the grandstands. There's no time to doze. The very first one of those races we broadcast, I was exhausted when we left the racetrack that day because you couldn't rest. There was no storytelling. There was none of this. For my one last thing, and we touched on it a little bit earlier on in the show, first of all, applause to NASCAR for moving up that start time by an hour. If they don't do that, that race doesn't go the full distance. It started raining. Andrew, you were there. Can you verify that? It started raining in Daytona not that long after the checkered flag fell.
Yeah, there were light raindrops in Victory Lane for about an hour to 90 minutes after the race, and then it started downpouring. So we may have lost the track, and then when you lose the track, there was no chance we were getting the rest of the thing in last night. So kudos to NASCAR.
So applause to NASCAR for looking ahead and going, because they cannot have that race keep continuously being postponed because it's the biggest TV rating you're going to get.
Yep.
I don't know what it's going to be, 8, 10 million. It's going to be a big number. If it gets pushed into the night, that number just keeps falling off a cliff, and it hurts your average number all year long. That number is so big that it can prop up the number throughout the rest of the season. So they decided, let's go early. They got it in. I hope when it's all said and done that their TV rating number is good. That reason alone. The other reason is, even for a practical sense, on the East Coast here, that race took the green flag at 2:13. What did it have? 5 cautions, Dave?
Yeah, 5, which is way under what I thought it was going to have.
It felt like more. By the way, you can speed up the cautions, NASCAR. Just saying. people at my house are watching it. They're casual fans. They go, why is it taking so long? And I'm going, I don't know. You know, no all on the track. I don't know. Sorry, but that's just something we're going to harp on. But applause for starting it. I would love to see this starting time adopted across the platform. I know it won't be because they're chasing the West Coast television audience, which is important. I get it. Not really. It's not. I don't get it. But you know, I know that's a big part of why they do this.
Yeah.
Let's back this time. They're used to watching football at 10 o'clock in the morning. They watch the I about said Redskins. They don't exist anymore.
Commanders.
They watch them at 10 o'clock in the morning. They watch the Cowboys at 10. They would watch the Daytona 500 at 10 o'clock. I'm not saying to go that early, but I love the start time. Even with it starting an hour early, that race did not end until about 6 o'clock Eastern time. That's a long day. Just saying, but way to go, NASCAR. Applause across the board for starting that race early. Andrew, it was a lot of fun having you on the show today. Really enjoyed it. David, we'll get you back in here. And then, of course, it's going to be Brad Gilley on a regular basis, Alexis Erickson, and Kyle Petty will all be dropping by throughout the year. We have a lot of fun on the show. We have a lot of commentary on here. We do not do a lot of guests. We do not do call-ins or do a lot of interactive because, frankly, the fact that we have Kyle on a lot of the shows doesn't give us a lot of time to fill in around the cracks. He pretty much fills the thing up. So, Kent, look forward to working with you again this season, and we will be here each and every Monday. And you know what? When we show back up, we'll have you a whole bunch more Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at toyotaracingusa.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.